Surely the Lord is in this place, as Jacob said, and surely God sent Alberto to play with us and accompany the hymns. He told me that he is originally from Venezuela, and so we are very thankful to have him playing today. Well, can't spend much time here at Bethel without eventually me coming around to a story about my days in camp in junior high and high school, YMCA Camp Minogen up in the Boundary Waters of Minnesota, a canoe camp where you went to camp and then you spent most of the time out on the trail paddling the lakes and crossing portages. So today is no different, but maybe this is a different story from my camp days. You see, Camp Minogen, it's on West Bearskin Lake, which is off the Gunflint Trail out of Grand Marais, if you've ever been up that way. And you have to cross the lake in order to get to the camp. And camp is kind of built around this little bit of a bay. And on the peninsula that sticks out to make this bay, right at the end, it's called Chapel Point. And Chapel Point is this beautiful, it looks over the whole lake, and it's where we gather every morning for a devotion, a thought for the day before having breakfast. And there's benches made of big logs built into the hill. And there's pine needles for cushion on those benches and a rough cross there. It's my favorite place at camp, Chapel Point. So then when I was out on trail, when we'd be going from lake to lake and camping in different places, I would look for other Chapel Points. I'd look for other places that seemed like they were a Chapel Point, a nice sloping rock down to the water. Or a really great outlook over the lake on the other side of the island where we are camped, where you walk through the whole island, you come out and you see the lake. And I would dub these Chapel Points. And I have memories of seeing God in these Chapel Points, where I felt connected with God and I could think and I could write about spiritual things and praise of God's creation. I even admitted that probably the first Chapel Point was the Garden of Eden, although this close second was the Chapel Point at Minogen. But anyways. So I just remember all this. So I got my journals out from my trips this week, because it seemed like Jacob found himself at a Chapel Point. He laid down to rest. He has this dream, this vision from God. It seems like a Chapel Point. And so I took out my journals, figuring I must have written some things that I could share with you that would just connect really well with Jacob's experience. And what I found was a lot of uneven poetry. And I found that my memory of spiritual insights at Chapel Points, well, that was pretty hit and miss. I was just as often writing about petty complaints about my travel group, teenage ideas of love, teenage ideas of war and peace, self-pity. It was not exactly the stuff that reflects or connects with Jacob's incredible experience, that dream he had at that Chapel Point that he called Bethel. So I didn't bring my journals today. And I'm not going to quote from my journals today, because when I saw them and I saw what Jacob experienced, I thought, that's not really what I was seeing in my Chapel Points. I mean, Jacob says, surely the Lord is in this place. I can't quote my journals about that. And maybe you feel the same way. You feel like your thoughts, your life, don't match up with being in a spiritual place, a special place, a place called Bethel, whether it's this church or another church or some Chapel Point out there. When you pause and you think, you realize that your thoughts and the things you work on in your mind all day and all week, it just doesn't seem like they really match up. Maybe you feel like you're just as hit and miss as I am with my journals. There's too many unspiritual things on our minds and among our priorities, and you can't imagine that God really would want you to be in a chapel point like that Bethel that Jacob was at. You can't imagine that God would ever put you in that kind of place. You came to church today, and perhaps that took courage for you, and we are thankful that you're here. Or you come to church on a regular basis, but still somewhere back in your mind, you still feel like, well, maybe I just don't belong because I'm not spiritual enough. Well, in that case, let me tell you about a different guy who found himself unexpectedly at Chapel Point. He came from a family that was not always picture perfect. This family never really settled in any one place. There's kind of upheavals. Plus, this guy did not get along with his brother. I mean, this wasn't just like they had a couple arguments. This was knock them down, drag them out, kind of not getting along. They were jealous of each other, trying to win their dad's favor. But see, they were also twins, and so it was really complicated. But when they got older and folks started kind of saying, you know, wondering about their father's health, you know, it was time to make some official decisions about power of attorney and estate planning, the will, and that was really a hornet's nest. So our guy, the guy who found himself unexpectedly at Chapel Point, that guy worked it all out that he got the lion's share of the inheritance, or maybe we could call it the liar's share, because he kind of finagled all of that. He kind of tricked his twin brother out of this, although at the time the twin brother didn't seem like he really wanted to spend any time on this. He couldn't be bothered with these long-term thinking or, you know, all those kind of decisions. After the fact, though, the brother, he became extremely angry. He realized what he had lost, realized what he had done. He got himself a gun, so to speak, and started to sound like a guy that came out of a country western song. He was on the hunt for his brother. And so our guy, the Chapel Point guy, took off, better than dying in a shootout. He was traveling to see if he might find a good wife among his mother's clan. I mean, that was the cover story. Really, he was running so that his brother didn't kill him. And that's when our guy found himself unexpectedly at Chapel Point. Really just pulled in after a long day on the trail. Didn't stop there for its beauty or tranquility or any of the spiritual sense of the place. He was just tired. And the day was nearly over. He pulled up a rock and rested his head on it. Our guy, of course, is Jacob, his twin brother Esau, a very complicated relationship. Our guy, Jacob, gets to Bethel. It's his Chapel Point, the place where God appeared to him in a dream, the place Jacob named Bethel, House of God. And it turns out that Jacob's journals about his travels and Chapel Points, his journals would be just as sketchy as mine or yours. Combination of sacred and profane, combination of moments where it seemed like, you know, Jacob saw God at work, and moments when he was just caught up in all other kinds of things and petty things and his own ideas. Jacob wasn't some holier-than-thou kind of guy. He wasn't holier than everyone else. Jacob didn't deserve that dream. He didn't even set out on a spiritual pilgrimage, seeking a place where God would appear. He was just tired and laid down. Jacob, who's named for grabbing his brother's heel on the way out of the womb. His name, Jacob, means holding the heel, or it's also meant cheater. He's known to be a trickster, and now he's a fugitive, and nothing ever quite works out right for him. This Jacob is the one in the bottom right-hand corner of the stained glass. This Jacob is the one who saw this incredible dream that we can't even imagine, a ladder and angels ascending, descending, and God there over it all. This is the Jacob where God spoke and gave him that promise. And this Jacob doesn't sound so different from you or me. A guy with journals that are both sacred and profane. And when we remember this about Jacob, we see that this story isn't about Jacob earning that dream or gaining that vision. It's about receiving, which means it's about God's grace. Grace equals gift. Jacob received the dream and received the promise from God. God said, I am your God, the God of Abraham, your grandfather, the God of Isaac, your father. I am your God, and I will give you this land, gift. Your offspring will be like dust. God had told Abraham the offspring would be like stars, and now he's using a different metaphor with Jacob. They're going to be like dust spreading across the world. And they will spread from the north to south to the east and the west, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. God says, I am with you and will be with you wherever you go. And you hear that incredible promise and you think about this dream that he had and you wonder, well, what did Jacob do to deserve that, to gain that? How had he set it up to make sure he found that place? Did he know to go to that place like it's a portal to heaven or something like that? And you realize it was none of that. He was tired. He laid down. God gave him the dream. God gave him the promise. So that Jacob is like you and me. God gave us his word. God gifted us faith through the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. God gave us the fact that we are part of his family through baptism. God gives us these things we receive. It is not about striving or cheating or anything like that. It's not about trying to work it all out right so we get in the right spot and then we'll have access to God. This is about God has come to you over and over again in many, many places to give you his gospel, to give you the promise of the forgiveness of your sins and the resurrection. He gives you these things as a gift. When we think of Jacob's ladder, we usually think about climbing Jacob's ladder. There's the old spiritual, African-American spiritual from slavery days that it talks about we are climbing Jacob's ladder. And you got to kind of set that aside for a moment because that's a whole different kind of imagery. Or maybe you know Jacob's ladder from being over at Six Flags and trying to climb that rope ladder. It's the same idea. You're really struggling to do something. You got to set that aside. What I want you to see here today, Jacob doesn't try to climb the ladder. Jacob just praises God for the dream. God doesn't invite him to climb the ladder. In fact, God is saying, I am going to go with you. In some ways, kind of coming down the ladder, sending the angels to watch over Jacob. God gives, not says, I hope you can get up here, and then last when we can't. It's not about climbing Jacob's ladder. It's not about trying to get salvation. This is about God's promise coming to you. So put the stress on the first words that Jacob says when he wakes up from the dream. He says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How many times in your life have you realized God was at work and you didn't know it? You didn't set out that day for God to be at work. You weren't watching for Him to be at work. And suddenly, He was there at work in your life to protect you, to guard you, to strengthen your faith, to encourage you, to give you words to speak to someone else. And you're thinking, where did those words come from? They sound like godly words. How did I ever have those? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. That's your Bethel. And whether it's Bethel, us, this building, this congregation, or Bethel, houses of God around the world, whether it is Bethel when we are together or Bethel when we are apart, we are reminded that God will be with us wherever we go. And He will remind us over and over again that surely the Lord is in this place. It's why, at staff meetings and leader meetings, sometimes we ask the question, where have you seen God at work? Now, the cheater answer is, well, He's always at work, Pastor. No. Where have you seen God at work? Where have you noticed? Where have you suddenly realized, woken up and said, surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord was in the middle of all that stress I was about. Surely the Lord was in that place to, you know, bring us some new friends here this morning. Surely the Lord is in this place. Insert what is happening in your life. Surely the Lord is in this place. You were struggling and you didn't have answers on where you were going to, how you were going to even figure out what tomorrow would bring. And God brought some kind of encouragement and support. Surely the Lord is in this place. That is your Bethel. I want to give you another image for that. And then I want to remind you of how this promise to Jacob is this promise to you through Jesus. But first, I want to give you an image. I don't know where I got this. Have you ever seen a play on stage or something where all the lights go down on the stage and then the spotlight's just on one person, right? And it's like a comedy. And so the one person is like, wait, and tries to step out of the spotlight and then the spotlight follows them. Have you seen that? I don't know where I saw that. But, you know, you've seen it. Okay, good. Somebody has. All right. And so they get to, and they run away and the spotlight catches up to them again, right? I want you to have that image, whether we're running away or we're just kind of wandering away, that God keeps coming and saying, I'm here too. And we kind of wander away and we think we're doing our own thing and we stop suddenly and we realize, Bethel, house of God, spotlight, God is in that place. We run away thinking, I'll just go over here and God won't notice what I'm doing and I can stop taking it so seriously, and boom. God is in this place. I want you to have that image because I want you to see that wherever you go, God will be there encouraging you and strengthening you in faith. Now hear the promise that He made to Jacob and hear it as fulfilled in Jesus. So that when you get to that spotlight, here is what God is pouring out on you. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And remember that Jesus was born into that line to fulfill it. But we are also brothers and sisters with Jesus and children of Abraham through faith. God says, I will give you this land. And in Jesus, it's not about the land, it's about the church. But it's also the promise of the new land, the new earth, and eternal life. He says, your offspring will be like dust, which reminds us that through faith, it's not limited to genealogy. We've all been brought in. It will spread from the north to the south, to the east to the west, And God calls on us to take the gospel to the corners of the earth. It says all families will be blessed through the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And through Jesus we truly are. And God says, I am with you and will be with you wherever you go. And Jesus, when he sends us out, he says, I will be with you to the very end of the age. And he says, no longer will you just worship in one place. He says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. All of those promises poured out on you in this spotlight moment, or this one, or this one. And you can name all of those places as houses of God, as places where you can say, surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in our lives. And sometimes we didn't know it, but God keeps reminding us and bringing us his word so that we will wake up and say, surely he is here. Amen.